Hi, this is Mike. Thank you for being a part of what God's doing at the Heights Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this message. We know it's not the same thing as being here in person, but we pray that God would move as you listen and as God applies this to your heart.
We're going to continue in Acts this morning, as opposed to a tweener, which normally when we have a sub like me, we do something in between. But this passage this morning is a passage from Acts that has affected my life personally as much as any story from Scripture, because I can relate to it. And I think each one of you guys will be able to relate to it as well. It's the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. And it makes our lives look normal compared to the life of a Bible character, because we don't always get to carry out our plans. Have you realized that? We have a great plan for what we're going to do in our lives. And we realize when God speaks, it changes. I'm calling this message this morning Seasons, Acts 8, 25 through 40, because the seasons of our life continue to change just like the seasons do. They look different. And during those seasons, I've learned to ask myself these questions. And I want you guys to think about these two questions as we work through the story in Acts 8 of Philip and the Ethiopian and their encounter. I want you to think about these two questions. Who are you listening to? And this is on a regular basis. As you go to work, as you're at your house, are you listening to your flesh, the desires of your flesh, what your flesh wants, what you want? Are you listening to God's word and what God is saying to you? And how are you responding to that? And also, what is your calling and your role? Because those are two different things. We're going to see that in the story of Philip, the difference between calling and role. My calling throughout my life has been consistent once I chose to follow Jesus Christ. It's been consistent. Learn to get to know him, obey him, and share him with others. That's my calling. Now, my role throughout life has changed. You guys have heard my story before. I've been a high school teacher and a coach and a high school counselor, and I've worked with nonprofit ministries, and I've gone back into the school system, and I've been a youth minister and an associate pastor and now an executive pastor here at the Heights Fellowship. My roles have changed. My calling, my purpose hasn't, throughout all those different roles. And that happens to each one of us. That's what makes this story so relevant to no matter whether you're 25 or 75 here this morning, the story is relevant for us. Now, just a quick review, where we're going, where we've been, and where we are in the study of Acts. This takes us way back further. I wanted you to see on the screen the whole picture. Jesus embarks on ministry. John baptizes him. Jesus tells his followers he must go, and he promises a helper will come. Jesus dies and is resurrected. Jesus charges his followers to go and make disciples. Jesus commands his followers to wait in Jerusalem for the helper that he promised. While waiting, the Holy Spirit inhabits those followers. The followers begin preaching and doing miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. We studied that. That's what we've been looking at. That's the beginning of Acts. The followers experience persecution and purging begins. Mike touched on that last week. The apostles choose co-laborers, one of which was Philip, who we're going to look at this morning. Stephen preaches his powerful sermon and is stoned to death because of it. Followers now scatter throughout the region due to the intense persecution of being a follower of Christ. They have to scatter. They have to leave Jerusalem. They have to go just like Jesus commanded them to, but that's probably not the way they expected to go. It was fearing for their lives. But now they're scattered. Persecution causes people to scatter. We don't like it. We don't like that. They didn't. They were afraid for their lives, for the lives of their family. They didn't know what was going to happen. But here's what Acts 8:4 told us last week. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. So that sets the standard for us today, that as we scatter, and we will all scatter this morning, we'll leave this building and go in different directions, that our purpose is to continue to preach the word, whatever that looks like. From Stephen's stoning up until the point that Jesus was baptized, from those two markers, it's only 5 to 8 years, depending on what historian you talk to. So a short time has passed since Jesus began his ministry to now he's turned over his ministry to his followers. Acts 8, follow along with me in your Bible or your device, whichever you may have. It says they started back to Jerusalem and they were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Okay, they started back. Things had lightened up back in Jerusalem. They were headed back to Jerusalem, to their families, to what they knew. And to get a picture here of geography, Samaria, as far as a region, was probably about 100 miles from Jerusalem. So they're making their way back to home, these who have been scattered, because after Acts 2, pretty much all the ministry was being done right there in Jerusalem until this persecution happens and they have to scatter. But they all begin heading back. But what do? As they're heading back home, they continue to preach the gospel. They continue to share Christ with those they come in contact with, headed back home. Verse 26. But always notice the contractions when you're reading scripture, because something's about to change. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up, go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. Philip's plan just changed. He was going home, back to Jerusalem. But an angel of the Lord speaks to him and says, now I want you to go to Gaza. Now, when I read that passage, my question, what I want to know is, why am I going to Gaza? That's what I want to know. I'm willing to be obedient, God, but I want to know, why am I doing that? Philip doesn't ask why. Hearing from the Lord launches acting for the Lord. Remember that. As God speaks into your life, when you hear from him, almost always there's action to be done. For Philip, it wasn't going home. He had to bypass home. He's now headed to Gaza. Verse 27. So he got up and went. See, there was no discussion there. But God, I haven't seen my family in months. Things are okay back in Jerusalem. I want to go back to comfort. I want to go back to what I know. But he didn't do that. So he got up and he went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, which means this man was celibate, either by choice, he chose to be that way, or by a physical procedure that made him that way. Says a court official, that he was a eunuch, he worked for a court official, Candace of Ethiopia, which is a title. We see it as a name in our culture, but it was a title, the hereditary title of an Ethiopian queen. That's what that means. And she was the queen of the Ethiopians who was in charge. He was in charge of all her treasure. So he had a very important role. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. You know, and for me, that poses some other questions. Okay, my thought would be, initially, as a follower of Christ, I would think, okay, if somebody comes to worship, they're a believing follower of Christ. First thought. But maybe not. The question is, was the Ethiopian a believer in Jesus Christ or just a Gentile sympathizer, a seeker, somebody who's heard about Jesus, who his queen said, go check this guy out. Find out more about him. There are people this morning here in this room who are just like the Ethiopian. You're here because I want to check out this Jesus my friends have told me about, my family have told about. So he's on this road to Gaza. You know, because often we think from reading the book of Acts that Cornelius, the centurion, was the first Gentile convert, the first one who wasn't a Jew. It's often spoken that way. Maybe he was, maybe it was this Ethiopian. But he's on the road and he stops. He sees him, it says. He notices him. You see, if I'm on my regular agenda throughout the week, doing my stuff, I need to get to the next destination. You know, I may be doing really good things. I have a meeting at 9 o'clock. I got to be there. Philip, who was listening to the Holy Spirit, stops. Location and schedule are not as important as people. We as believers in 2025 have got to understand that concept. Our schedules, our jobs, our locations dictate so often what we're doing next, and we miss the people along the way. Philip didn't miss him. Philip still doesn't know why he's on the road to Gaza. He doesn't know yet. But he stops and engages this gentleman who worked for the queen. And he was returning, the Ethiopian, was returning back home after being in Jerusalem. And sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Verse 29, God speaks to Philip again. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join his chariot. You know, for a lot of us, that's really hard. To go up to somebody we don't know. It says he was reading from Isaiah, so Philip recognized that. But the Spirit said, go up and engage him. Go to where he is. Go to his spot. Go to his circumstance. Not because he comes to you, because you're engaging him where he is. In verse 30, I just love verse 30. It says he ran up. You know, I probably sneak up. Excuse me, sir. Would it be okay if I talk to you? You look like you work for a queen. And I'm just little Philip, and I'm not sure I should even be talking to you. Can I ask what you're reading? You know, I get all anxious about that. Do I really want to engage this person? I don't know. Philip ran. Why? Because he was being immediately obedient to what the Spirit told him to do. Go talk to the man. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? See, he just asked him a simple question to begin the conversation. So often for us, that's all we have to do. Ask a simple question to begin the conversation. Because the Ethiopian could have said, yeah, I know, fine, thanks for stopping. Good luck on your way, on your travels. But that wasn't his answer. See, and here's our challenge. Being prepared allows you to engage people where they are so you can help prepare them for where God is taking them. See, Philip was prepared enough in his own walk with Christ. He was prepared enough in being a listener to what God spoke to him, that he trusted God with that engagement. His preparation allowed him to be ready to speak to this man he didn't know, to engage him in conversation. Because see, Philip didn't know at that time what the guy was doing, other than stopped and reading the book of Isaiah, a passage from it. And see, there's a challenge there for us as well, that if we're prepared, if we're seeking opportunities, if we're alert to those who cross our paths each and every day, then a simple question like it does here might make a difference in someone else's world. Verse 31, Ethiopian says, "How could I understand this? How could I unless someone guides me?" Open door. More conversation. Now, the passage of scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. That's what he's reading when Philip walks up. Okay, if I had never read Isaiah, if I didn't have all the gospel stories that I know, I would probably ask the same question. How am I supposed to know what this means? And I don't know. I don't know if Philip was an expert in what we know as the Old Testament. I don't know. But Philip found himself talking to the Ethiopian with these passages from Isaiah as his opportunity to speak to the man. Verse 34, Ethiopian asked him a question. "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or someone else?" Legitimate question. He doesn't know. Who's he talking about? You know, what we don't get to see is their whole conversation. We don't get to see or listen to everything that Philip tells him. We don't. We don't get insight into that. But here's what we do know. Verse 35. Then, immediately following the question, Philip opened his mouth and beginning from this scripture, where the man was reading, where he was, what he had questions about, beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Now, in those verses from Isaiah, do you see the name Jesus anywhere? Don't see it. It's not there. Is it speaking about Jesus? Absolutely is. But the Ethiopian man is confused. His question is legit. But what Philip begins doing, and what we know Philip did, is he preached Jesus to him. This is free information. Many of us would start with John 3:16. It's a good place to start when you're sharing the gospel with somebody who Jesus is and what he did for us. Well, John 3:16 wouldn't be written for another 40 or 50 years. He didn't have that privilege, that opportunity that we have to know the entirety of the gospels. Philip had to take what the man was reading. He had to take his question, and Philip began telling him the story of Jesus. Remember the list of things that I listed a while ago that led up, started with Jesus' baptism of John, where he begins his ministry, and all those things, and there's a lot more, but all those things, Philip began telling him about what had happened. That's our challenge. As we talk to people, listen for opportunities to point them to Jesus. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to know the book of Isaiah. You don't even have to know all the Gospels. You don't even have to have John 3:16 memorized. You begin pointing them to Jesus. Always, excuse me, always allow questions of faith to initiate you pointing them to Jesus. Because, you know, I've been in enough Bible studies and conversations with people. We can, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we can get way out there and start arguing, discussing, and debating, and all these different things from all of Paul's letters, okay? Paul's not even a believer yet right here. That's next week. Point people to Jesus. Verse 36, the Ethiopian says, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" Now, go back to what he's reading. Is there anything in there that says anything about being baptized? No. So obviously, we can believe that through what Philip said, he mentioned Jesus being baptized. Or he had heard that that was an important step for him to be baptized. And all he knew to say was, what prevents me from doing that? What prevents me from being identified with Jesus Christ and be like him by being baptized? And then verse 37 is an interesting verse because actually in the original manuscripts, it's not even there. This was added later by whomever before they compiled the Bible because it's a natural thing that might have taken place, but all the original manuscripts don't have this verse. It's just not there. It says, "And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now, do I believe within my spirit that a conversation like that took place with Philip and the Ethiopian? I do. But see, that would be, as we look at that verse, we'd say, okay, well, that's what everybody needs to do, it just like that. You know, you've got to say these words. You've got to pray this prayer. You've got to do exactly this. Philip may have said that, may not have. But what Philip does is he meets him where he is. He takes what the Ethiopian knows and asks about, and he says, as we see Luke writing, Philip baptizes the eunuch. Because where the Ethiopian was in his walk, his discipleship was, everything I've heard, I need to be baptized like Jesus. He didn't understand the whole New Testament. He's still working on these two verses in Isaiah. But because Philip took the time to talk to him and point him to Jesus, this Ethiopian now wants to identify with Jesus. We all can do what Philip did. We can point people to Jesus. We don't have to know everything. We don't even have to try to explain everything. You want to be baptized? You want to identify with Jesus? I'll baptize you. We'll start right there. Apply the knowledge that they have to help them take the next step of obedience. That's what the Ethiopian desired. He's headed back to his nation, to his country, to his queen, a place where he has some influence. But I believe confidently that as he goes back, he's now a follower of Christ. May not have been when he was reading, but I think because of Philip's engaging him, challenging him, talking to him, pointing him to Jesus, he's now a follower of Christ. verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. Now, if we spend too much time thinking about this verse, we can't make this work. Philip's in the water. He baptizes the Ethiopian. They come up out. Philip's no longer there. And the Ethiopian is just excited because he's taken a step of obedience to follow Jesus. It doesn't even say, oh my gosh. The Ethiopian goes, where's Philip? Where's this guy that just baptized me? He says he left rejoicing. And Philip's gone. I can't get my mind around that. But he's gone. But in that in-between time when Philip is wherever, don't you think he knows, I know why I was on the road to Gaza? For us, be primed to embark on your next opportunity to share Christ. See, God had Philip on that road for one reason. To meet that one man who's asking those questions, reading from that passage at that time. That's why we've got to engage people. Probably this was the last time Philip ever saw this man. That's it. God had him there on the road to Gaza to talk to this man. Verse 40. But Philip's no longer in the water baptizing the Ethiopian. He found himself at Azotus. Okay? I looked this up on the map. Azotus is about 75-ish miles from Jerusalem. How did he get there? I don't know. He's in a different town. And what's Philip continue to do? He doesn't try to figure it out. Oh my gosh, I need to go see the psychiatrist while I'm here in Azotus. Something crazy just happened. I need somebody to talk to. He didn't do that, or at least we don't know that he did. It says he found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, okay? And here's what's crazy about this. He's forgotten about Gaza, because when you look on the map, Azotus is right here on the coast. Gaza's down here south, and we're going to see in a minute that he doesn't even end up in either one of those cities. But as he's passing through Azotus, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. And that's the end of this passage, end of this chapter. But we hear about Philip in Acts 21:8. You know, in our study of Acts, we'll get there in like 2027. But we'll get there. So hang in there. We'll come back to that passage later. But we hear about Philip. What's happened to him? On the next day we left, this is Paul talking. On the next day we left and came to Caesarea, and entering the house of Philip, the evangelist, remember last week's message, Mike told us he's the only person that's ever been called that in Scripture that's been given that title. He's still being called that. Who was one of the seven, one of our guys, chosen to help the apostles. We stayed with him. And historians believe, when you trace Scripture, this is 20 years later. So he's kind of settled here in Caesarea. And it says, now this man had four virgin daughters who were prophetesses. So he's married, if he wasn't before. He's had children. He's settled in Caesarea. But what's he still doing? Preaching the gospel. He's even discipled his daughters. He's continuing to engage the people God's given him with who Jesus is. For most of us, God has an ultimate landing spot. He really does. We settle somewhere for most of us. But we should continue engaging people with the gospel as you be going. And that as you be going is the literal what the word go, make disciples in Matthew 28 means. As you be going. In Philip's story, we see him going. No matter where he is, he's sharing Jesus. Doesn't matter. But it appears he settled. He had a spot, but he didn't quit when he got to Caesarea. For us that are more experienced in years, that should challenge us. Because we want that comfort. We want the settling that, you know, okay, I've done all I'm going to do. No. If you follow the example of Philip, there's always a next. There's always somebody else that I can point to Jesus. So here's some application you can take home with you. Listen for God's voice, and when you hear it, obey immediately. Respond to people as being more important than your agenda. Be ready and prepared to point people to Jesus in the midst of their circumstances, where they are. Be alert to new opportunities when placed in new surroundings. See, the purpose didn't change. It shouldn't change for us. Our role may change. Our assignment may change. But the purpose hasn't. And the last one, continue living out your purpose no matter what your assignment might be. And as a follower of Christ, you're going to have an assignment until God takes you home. Then it changes. But until then, be alert. Be sensitive to those people around you. And I would encourage you, no matter your age, to pray this question. If you search my prayer journal, which I'm in the midst of the third year of a 5-year prayer journal, and it's amazing how often I pray that prayer. What's next? What's next? I don't know. This may be my last day here if I said something that wasn't right. You know, who knows? I may need to be looking for what's next. But we don't know what's next. If you're like me, every day you come to work or every day you talk to somebody in your neighborhood, you engage in conversation, there's opportunity, if you're listening, to point people to Jesus. So what's next? Maybe big, maybe little, maybe a person, one person at the grocery store. My wife, Mina, tells me all the time, she does more talking about Jesus and counseling people in the produce aisle at United than any other place in the world. I don't know where your next is going to be, but for all of us, there is a next. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the opportunity to share Philip's story this morning and to share it in such a way that is very familiar because I can relate. It's my story as well, just thousands of years later. The challenge to listen to you, to obey you, to engage people, even when I don't want to. God, I just pray that you continue for each one of us in this room, that you keep giving us what's next. Who's next? And Lord, just give us the courage, the insight, the sensitivity of your Spirit using us to point them to Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you for being a part of what God's doing here at the Heights Fellowship. If the Lord led you to make a decision or you have a question or a need, we want to hear from you. Send us an email at the email listed below, info@theheightsfellowship.org, and we will join you in praying as you take a step forward on your journey with God.